introduction, we make a statement here about proclamation plus demonstration. And the thing about proclamation and demonstration, and do we need to define those? Proclamation is speaking forth, declaring, right? Demonstration is walking it out, demonstrating it, living it, okay? The thing about those two things in our walk with God is that it's not one or the other, but it's both. It's not one or the other, but it's both. And it's all about balance, really, in word and in deed. All right? And we can look at some of the other relationships in our lives, and maybe this will become clearer. When we counsel married couples, we often sort of take some time to talk about love languages with married couples, because there's actually sort of five main different ways of expressing or communicating love. And oftentimes couples get stuck because one of them sort of uses one language of love mostly, and the other one oftentimes uses a different language of love mostly. And so neither one of them realizes that the other one is showing them love when they're doing it, because that's not the way they express their love, you know? And when Dave and I were first married, he'd buy all these little gifts for me, and I never really realized that that was the way he was showing his love, because that's not how I showed love. I did it by saying, I love you, you know? And but anyway, so there's different love languages, and only one of them has to do with declaration or with saying, I love you. The other four all involve demonstration in different ways. And in our relationship with God, sometimes we think just saying, I love you, Jesus, is enough, and that's that. And we leave it at that. But, you know, my dad used to say that he loved me, and but he was never around to demonstrate it. And so I grew up a very sad little girl. And so, you know, if we think about it, we realize that proclamation without demonstration is very empty indeed, isn't it? And this is where the talking about Manchester comes in, because the Lord was really sort of dealing with me this last week about the need for proclamation and demonstration. I've never been much interested in social action type of things. I just sort of left that to other people and concentrated on sharing the word, you know, and it's not that I didn't see it as valuable. I just didn't see it as valuable as sharing the word. And, but we got sort of thrown into this community service project at the last minute instead of street ministry, which is what we thought we were going to be doing. And in the middle of that, the Lord began to speak to me about it, saying to me, it's not enough to say you care, but you need to demonstrate that you care. And I realized through that whole thing, for the first time really, that the real value wasn't in the service itself, which is the way that I had always looked at it, that the value was in picking up the rubbish, or the value was in feeding that person, or whatever you did to help them, right? That's how I'd always seen it. But I realized that that's not where the real value of it is. The real value in it lies in what takes place in people's hearts when love is demonstrated to them. Something changes in their heart. Something is touched in their heart when they see love demonstrated. And I realize that that's the real value of social action and community service and all these practical things that people do. And what we were actually involved in Manchester, the value wasn't in the rubbish that we cleaned up. The value was in what happened in those people's hearts when they saw that someone really cared enough to get grimy and dirty and stand out in the rain and pick up their rubbish, you know? And so the real value is what takes place in people's hearts when they see love demonstrated. And something happens when love is demonstrated. And with God now, He is no less, think about this, He is no less touched by the demonstration of love than we are. Because we're made in His image. We're like we are because we were created to be like Him. And we're touched by the demonstration of love because God's heart is touched by the demonstration of love. And so something happens when we demonstrate our love to Him. Something happens to Him and something happens to us. When we demonstrate our love to Him, His heart is touched. He is ministered to. He is blessed. His heart is made glad when we demonstrate our love to Him. And then we are touched as we do that. And we are impacted. And we are changed. And we discover a new liberty. And we are blessed. See, there's a spiritual principle involved here. As we give and we pour out and demonstrate our love to God, He gives back to us, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And that's Luke 6:38, for those of you that would like to jot that down. So we want to just go on now to talk about a few biblical expressions or demonstrations of worship. And I want to stress that this is not going to be an exhaustive list. These are just the major ones, all right? But there are always other things. For example, one of the Hebrew words for praise, which we're going to talk about another week, is halal, right? Which means, in a nutshell, to be clamorously foolish, right? Now, there's lots of different ways that you can do that and be totally biblical. For example, we've been in meetings where younger people were diving off the stage in just with just out of enthusiasm and excitement, and to demonstrate their love for God, they were hurling themselves off the stage into one another's arms. Right? Well, that fits the definition of being clamorously foolish, right? And it was being done unto the Lord as worship, an expression of their worship for Him. And so, you know, that's not in our list, right? So this is not an exhaustive list. Before we go through this list, I just want to say one thing. A lot of these things that we're going to talk about are things that we're all familiar with. They're all things that we operate in now to demonstrate our love for God. But I think in a lot of ways, sometimes it's really easy to slide to a place where a lot of these things just sort of become ritual for us. It was like what Simon was talking about earlier tonight, you know, where we just fall into the humdrum of going through the motions. And sometimes we can lose the edge and lose the freshness and lose the life, even though we're doing all the same things. And so as we talk about these things tonight, my prayer is that God will really breathe a new life into our worship. That as we talk about these things, that the anointing that's on His word will just bring a release inside of us and a new freshness and a new life to our worship and a new revelation of what we're really doing when we do these things. And so that even though we're sort of familiar with them, have you ever heard the expression familiarity breeds contempt? which basically means that it just sort of becomes kind of humdrum, and we don't see the value and have the respect for things like we do because we're so familiar with it. Have you ever noticed that somebody that's just come into like the charismatic experience is so, everything is so new and so fresh and so incredible, and it's like, wow, wow, wow. And we're kind of going, bleh. You know, I do this every Sunday. But it's because we're so familiar with it that it's lost the life. And so let's just pray right now. Father, we just want to open our hearts and ask that you would breathe new life into our hearts and our spirits, that you would breathe new life into our worship tonight as we study your word. Lord, that you would bring a new revelation to our hearts of what you desire from us, Lord, as we express our love towards you and for you, and that you would just bring a new understanding of these things to our hearts, Lord. Maybe we've operated in them without fully understanding why we were doing it, and maybe that understanding tonight, Lord, will just take us to a whole new level in our worship. But however you do it, Lord, we just pray that you'll just breathe new life into us tonight, Lord, that you'll take us from any place where we've been just sort of going through the motions and not really experiencing all that you have for us, to a new place, Lord, where it's fresh, it's new, it's life to us. And we just praise you and thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness in the name of Jesus. Okay, the first one we want to look at is obedience. And I'm just going to go through these really fast. I'm not going to talk about them. You know, each one of these, there have been whole books written on the dance, you know. And we could go into loads and loads. But I've given you most of the scriptures, and all we're going to do is just sort of fly through the list so that we have plenty of time for the activation later. And if you want, you can study on each one of these more in your own time. All right, the first one, A, under part two, is obedience. That's the first biblical expression of worship that we want to mention. And your key verse there to fill in the blank is 1 Samuel chapter 15, verses 21 and 22. And all I'm going to say about this is I'm just going to read this scripture. This is a situation, if I remember right, where Saul really disobeyed what God told him to do and went ahead with this sacrifice. And so Samuel had to be the one to call him on it. And he says to Saul, "Has the Lord as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice." And so that's kind of our key scripture there. And then you've got some others that you can look up later. Then we'll go on to number two, the second biblical expression of worship that we have listed here is service and sacrifice. And your key verse is Romans 12:1, which says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." Alrighty, and then you have some others there that you can look up later. Then the third one that we wanted to mention is love talk. "Oh, Jesus, I love you so much." And your key verses there are found in the Song of Solomon. It's a whole book. The Song of Solomon is a beautiful expression of, or a beautiful picture of the love talk that can go on between us and the Lord. As you look at some of the passages of the bridegroom and the Shulamite girl and the things they say to each other, a bit exaggerated, but I mean, I wouldn't want teeth like hers, but anyway, you have a few other passages there that you could just look up as well. I'm sure there's some others, but all right, the fourth one, another biblical expression of worship is standing in the presence of the Lord. Standing is a sign of respect, isn't it? What do we all do, or what would we all do, if the Queen walked in the room? I mean, if we were all just sitting here chatting away and the Queen walked in, what would we do? We'd be instantly on our feet, wouldn't we, as a sign of respect. How much more so the King of Kings? How much more so the King of Kings? So our key verse here is Psalm 135, 1 through 3, which says, "Praise the name of the Lord. Praise him, O you servants of the Lord, you who stand in the house of the Lord and in the courts of the house of our God. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good." Now, to be honest, there weren't any really, really, really great ones for standing, so I just picked out one. The rest of them are probably just as good. So Ezekiel 44:14 is a really good one. You might make a note of that one. And then in Revelation 20, it talks about all the dead in Christ standing before the Lord. And that was kind of an interesting one. This picture that John had in this vision of all the dead standing before the throne of God. So, all right, the next one is that we have as a biblical expression of worship is singing. One that we're all familiar with. And our key verse there is Psalm 100, verse 2, which says, "Serve the Lord with gladness and come before his presence with singing." And then you've got loads and loads there. There's probably every other verse in the Psalms talks about singing. All right, then F. This might be one we're not quite as familiar with. Another biblical expression of worship is that of declaration. Proclaiming or declaring his goodness and his great works, his awesomeness and his great majesty. Declaration. Your key verse is, is Psalm 66, or let's do Psalm 40 first. Okay, one of them is, we have two key verses. Couldn't decide between the two. Psalm 40, verses 9 and 10, which says, "I have proclaimed the good news of righteousness in the great assembly. Indeed, I do not restrain my lips, O Lord. You yourself know I have not hidden your righteousness in my heart. I have declared your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great assembly." Right? So there he talks about proclamation or declaration. And another is Psalm 66, verses 3 and 4, which says, "Say to God, how awesome are your works, O Lord. Through the greatness of your power, your enemies shall submit themselves to you." All right? Telling God, you are so awesome. That declaration, that's another valid biblical expression of worship. And then you've got some others there you can look up later. All right, number G. Another one that we can look at is that of clapping. A key verse is Psalm 47, verse 1. Now, the interesting thing about clapping, you know, that's probably the thing we do the most in charismatic churches, huh? Besides singing and clapping, huh? That's right. And those are under your other verses there are about the trees. But you know, there's only one that I could find about us clapping our hands. And that's this one, Psalm 47, 1. Oh, clap your hands, all you peoples. Shout to the Lord with a voice of triumph. Right? But that's like the only one. The others are all about the trees clapping. So I just thought it was kind of interesting because that's probably the second most way that we demonstrate our love for God and express our worship to Him is through clapping, and it's not mentioned very many times. Yeah, that's true. Right, so we've got three, the two tree ones in this one. But I thought that was kind of interesting. So the next one, H, biblical expression of worship is shouting. Shouting, shout to the Lord. All the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty and praise to the King. Right. Okay, our key verse is Psalm 95, verses 1 and 2, which say, O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving, and let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms. Right? And then you've got a whole bunch of other ones there you can look up. The next one is lifting up the hands. This is I. Another biblical expression of worship is lifting up the hands. And there's a couple of things I want to say about this. One is that it's a posture of adoration. Hi guys, you finally made it. Fashionably late, is that what? Yeah, right. Well, we're glad you made it. All right, this is I is lifting up the hands. And hey, can somebody give them a couple sets of notes so they're not left sitting over there bereft of anything to write on? And I think we're on page 2 now, are we, in the notes?
Yeah.
All right. We're on page 2, letter I, lifting up the hands. We're talking about biblical expressions of worship. And what I was going to say is that for one thing about this is it's a posture of adoration. Now, I remember when Lauren was a baby, you know, like 12, 14 months old. All right, I'm not supposed to tell stories on you when you're here. Right. Is it okay if I tell this story? Anyway, well, it's really cute. So when she was like 12, 14 months old, you know, not quite walking really good yet, but getting around a little bit, she'd be sitting on the blanket or something, and Dave would come in from work. And instantly, it was like, and it was like, Daddy! You know, and the hands would fly up, you know, and it was like, my daddy's home, daddy, 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 pick me up, you know? And I think that, you know, that's part of, sometimes that's the motivating thing when we're lifting our hands in worship. It's like we're saying, oh, Daddy, pick me up, Daddy, I love you. And also lifting up the hands, though, is a posture of receiving. It's a posture of receiving. I find, you know, when my heart's crying out for something from God, that instinctively what I want to do is open my hands to receive what I'm crying out to Him for. So it's also a posture of receiving. And I think it's also a posture of submission. Now think about it. If a gunman comes up to you and sticks a gun in your face, what's the first thing you do?
Don't shoot! Right?
That's a posture of submission. And I think that in raising our hands to the Lord, it's like saying, I give up, Lord. I surrender. I'm yours. It's a posture of submission. All right. And our key verse for this is Psalm 134, verse 2, which says, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Get them hands up. Surrender. Okay, let's go on. Ooh, taking longer than I said. Okay, maybe I won't read all these. Okay, dancing is the next one, J. And the key verse there is Psalm 30, verse 11. And actually Psalm 149, verse 3 in your others list is also a really good one. Okay, and you can look those up on your own. Psalm 30, verse 11 wasn't like the best one. I just picked one out of the bunch because they're all about the same. K, another biblical expression of worship is using musical instruments. Key verse there to write in your notes is Psalm 150, verses 3 through 5. And then there's loads of them. You've got some others there you can also look up. L is bowing. Another biblical expression of worship. Your key verse is Philippians 2:10. The name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow and every tongue confess. Right? And then you've got some others there you can look up. N is another one you might not be too familiar with. And this is prostrating oneself before the Lord. And your key verse is Matthew 26:39, where Jesus prostrated himself before the Father in the Garden of Gethsemane. And you also find, if you look at the book of Revelation, you see that the worshipers in heaven are prostrating themselves before the throne of God, on their faces before God. That one's not in your others list. I'm just mentioning that one. You can look those up. All right, then O. N. That was in. Prostrating oneself is in. M was kneeling. M for. Oh, did I skip that one? Oh, dear. Okay, right, go back and fix it. L was bowing. M was kneeling. Sorry. M was kneeling, and your key verse for M as in mother, kneeling, was Psalm 95, verse 6. Okay, then N as in Norman. Was prostrating oneself. Key verse, Matthew 26:39. Now we're to O. All right. Another biblical expression of worship is the use of banners and flags. And your key verse is Psalm 20, verse 5. And I do want to just read this one really quick. Psalm 20, verse 5. Which says, we will rejoice in your salvation, and in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. Okay? There's a whole bunch of them about banners and flags. You've got a few there to look up. And then the very last one we wanted to just mention was pageantry and processions. And if you would please, under your key verses, oh, you don't have that, right. I was going to tell you to scratch them out. Your key verse is Psalm 68, verses 24 and 25. And then you have a few others there you can look up. Pageantry and processions.
Do not say I-T.
P-A-G-E-A-N-T-R-Y. Okay, now let's go on to part three. I'll tell you how to spell it later. Let's go on to part three. There's a principle of worship that we want to emphasize here, and that's give it all you've got with no holding back. And I'm going to give you, you've got a few scriptures written in your notes, right? Deuteronomy 6:5, Mark 12:30. Both talk about loving the Lord with all your heart, soul, and strength. Then Psalm 103, verse 1 says, all that is within me, bless his holy name. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, whatever your hand finds to do, do with all your might. And 2 Samuel 6:14 is the story of David dancing before the Lord with all his might. And so the underlying truth about expressions of worship is that God desires our all. God desires our all. However, we express our worship to him. Okay.